I'm Kelly Beattie, the executive editor of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. We've come to that time of year when daylight lingers fairly late into the evening hours. Now, during most of May, the sun doesn't set until nearly 8 o'clock, so it's not really dark until well after dinner time. And after telling you to dress warmly these past few months, I've changed my tune. Yep, the season's first wave of insects have arrived, and it's time again to dig up the bug spray. You can also ward off most of these annoying critters by wearing lightweight, long-sleeve clothing. The past few months have featured a full moon early on, and this time around it falls on May 2nd. Since the moon completes its cycle of phases in 29.5 days, this month there'll be a second full moon on the evening of May 31st, at least as reckoned by time zones in North America. Those of you in the Eastern Hemisphere get two full moons next month on June 1st and 30th. Now, in recent years, it's been popular to call this second full moon in a single month a blue moon. So why is that? After all, the lunar landscape doesn't really turn blue. This usage, it seems, came from a 1946 article in Sky and Telescope magazine. But if you dig really deep, the term blue moon was first used before then in the Maine Farmer's Almanac to indicate not two full moons in one month, but instead whenever four full moons occur within a given season, between a solstice and an equinox, for example. Yep, it seems Sky and Telescope got it wrong, and everyone followed our lead. For the details of this celestial whodunit, go to skytonight.com and type blue moon in the search box. In any case, there's a lot more to see in the May evening sky than full moons. As you face the direction of sunset, you can't help but notice dazzling Venus about halfway up. This planet is so bright that you just might be able to spot it before the sun sinks from sight. How soon can you pick it out of the deepening blue sky? This is a fun way to see who's got the best eyesight in your family. Now shift your gaze far to the upper left of Venus, about 5 times the width of your fist at arm's length. The brightest star in that part of the sky is actually the planet Saturn. Don't confuse it with the star Regulus, which is a fist width to Saturn's upper left. Regulus is the brightest star in the constellation Leo, the Lion. Keep turning to your left and way over to the east, to the point opposite the direction of sunset. If you stay up until about 11 p.m., you'll be able to catch Jupiter, the king of planets, soon after it rises. One easy way to spot this bright planet is to look on May 4th. The moon is close by Jupiter that night, and the two rise together. By the end of the month, Jupiter pops into view about 8:30, very soon after sunset, so you won't have to stay up so late to see it. The evening skies of May don't feature any slam-dunk constellations like Big Beefy Orion, which has finally sunk from view in the west. But there is one obvious star pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Big Dipper looming over you, with its curved handle bent upward and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping some soup into an imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that make a pattern. The Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handle serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and its head off to the left. Many constellations and asterisms are chance alignments of stars that lie at different distances from the Earth, but the Big Dipper breaks this rule. 5 of its 7 stars are equally far away, about 80 light-years from Earth. The 2 exceptions are at the tip of the handle and on the lip of the bowl. What's more, these 5 stars are racing in formation across the sky at roughly 28,000 miles per hour. As a result, the Big Dipper's shape is very gradually changing. In 100,000 years or so, its bowl will flatten out, and its handle will be bent sharply. Now, I think of the Big Dipper as the Swiss Army knife of the sky because it helps me find so many other springtime stars. For starters, find the 2 stars at the left end, forming 1 side of the Dipper's bowl. Skywatchers call these the pointer stars, and here's why. Draw an imaginary line through the pointers, and follow that line downward by the width of 3 fists. You'll come to a moderately bright star. That's Polaris, the North Star. You can use this little trick anytime you want. Just remember that those 2 stars point to Polaris. Are you surprised that the North Star isn't the brightest star in the sky? In fact, 45 other stars outshine it. But brightness isn't the North Star's claim to fame. Instead, it lies very nearly at the point where a line extended out into space from Earth's North Pole would go. So as Earth spins throughout the night, Polaris hardly moves. Now go back to the pointers in the Big Dipper, follow that line through them in the opposite direction, and 4 or 5 fists later you'll reach Regulus. So now you can point to Polaris and leap to Leo. But wait, there's more. Follow the curve formed by the Dipper's handle up through overhead until you reach a very bright star about 3 fists away. That's Arcturus, the spring sky's brightest star. Can you detect its ginger ale color? Now follow that same curved line past Arcturus until you come to another rather bright icy white star, named Spica in the southeastern sky. Congratulations! Now you know how to arc to Arcturus and spike to Spica. And did you know that you can even use the Big Dipper to tell time? It's really easy. To find out how, go to skytonight.com and type star clock in the search box. That do-it-yourself star clock is just one of many features for beginning stargazers at skytonight.com. Next month, we'll try to spot 4 planets at once in the evening sky. That'll be a real treat. Until then, I wish you clear skies.